Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Thank you that you caused our paths to cross, and because of that, we are here today. We are grateful for his life. We pray that his days, as his strength shows out, so shall his days be. May he continue to be blessed, continue to move, and continue to do great things. May he fulfill his calling, and may he know that he has grateful children all over the world. We thank you, and we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Take your seat. The fathers in the house, we just want to say that you are honored and we honor you today. There's so much that fathers do. Yes. It's a pity that many of us are ungrateful children. Yeah. Forgive us. Forgive us. On behalf of the children, I ask you to forgive us our ungratefulness. And God bless you for all that you do. Amen. Are you there? When you go and you make a request and you are asking your father, as usual, some of you, the only thing you ever say to your father is a request. Tell your neighbor, a father is not an ATM, he's a human being. ATM, when I'm going to take money out from the ATM, I don't have to greet the ATM. I just have to slot the card and then collect what I'm collecting. And some of us, that's how we treat our fathers. Are you there? Oh, I said, are you there? So after church today, make sure that you text your father. In fact, call him and just say thank you. He doesn't hear such words often. Yes. Oh, true or not true? Yes, I was even quarreling with some pastors because I said, look at the way that you are celebrating the Father's Day. When is the Mother's? We hear of it 1 month ahead. But the Father's Day, Charlie. But at the end, so at the end of the service, the Father's Day will cut their cake and eat it alone. Won't give you some. I pray not. But by grace, we want you to know that we appreciate you. Amen. How many of you are going to call your father? You're going to call him, yeah. You're going to let him hear from you. Let him hear that you are a grateful child. Amen. But my father didn't, hey, please. Today is not the day for that. Just obey the scripture. And if you are sitting by a younger person, tell that you are coming. You understand things. You will understand. You will understand. You are coming. You understand things. Hallelujah. Well, today is a very special Sunday. Amen. And I'm not preaching. I sent a picture to my spiritual father. And I thanked him. I asked the picture to be taken. I was sitting there. My son was preaching. And I sent him it. I said, thank you. Thank you. There's not many every place, yeah, that can be sitting here. My son is preaching. Charlie, it's nice. It's nice. I thought you'd be clapping for our spiritual father. Hey, what has happened to you today? Oh, you're feeling sleepy. What's that? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, you sit down small. You sit down small. Yeah. So I'm very happy that it's my third son who is going to be preaching this morning. Hallelujah. And It's a great honor. It's a great honor. Yeah, it's a great honor. I don't take it for granted at all. Yeah. As you know, he's a missionary to Madagascar. And as he's here this morning, he's going to be preaching an anointed word. Yes, we heard him in the first service. Last night, the campus church, GES, had him and they were just happy in life. So we have heard him this morning and some of us are ready to hear him again. Amen. And I know that it's a good word. It's a good word. Hallelujah. And we're going to show you a short clip. And after that, he's going to come up, you know. And say, why are you letting him preach? Because you see, when you are a doctor, you want your son to be a doctor. when you are an engineer, you want him to be an engineer. Uh-huh. When you are a lawyer, I want you. So if I'm a preacher and I'm happy that my son is a preacher, I don't understand your problem. I don't understand. Tell your neighbor, we don't understand your problem. We don't understand. Yeah. Are you there?
Hallelujah. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and give your neighbor a high five. Hi. Tell your neighbor, happy to see you in church today. And it's really a blessing to be in church today. And I'm excited to be in this service. Should I tell you why? Because I recognize more faces than the other one. Yes. And I see a lot of my brothers, my friends, uncles, aunties all over the place. So I feel more relaxed, more at home. Yes. And I just want us to salute the mother of the house. Those at the back, your clap is very weak. I think we can clap louder. And we have to recognize that God has really, really blessed us with an anointed, caring guide. Yes, and someone who is... Some people, they care, but they don't know how to help you. It's one thing to care and one thing to even know how to help you. And she's helped so many lives, including mine. And I know that as you are here, your life is also being helped. True or not true? Yes, and I also want to salute all the pastors. These are my brothers and my sisters. Yes, these are we are for many years. Salute all of you. Really, really great men of God. And see, a carpenter knows the difficulty of carpentry work and respects other carpenters. It's the same way. Yes, so when I see pastors, it's not fake, it's a lot of genuine honor, because pastoring is a blessing. And lastly, I want us to salute our father, the General Bishop Dag Heward Mills. And that was a really powerful time of prayer. And as I was standing there, I was praying for my biological father and my spiritual father. And I believe we are really, really blessed to have them in our lives. Amen. And I hope you are blessed too. So today is going to be very, very short and very quick. But I know that the word, there's not much I can do for any human being in this life. But the word of God has an ability to change and to transform and to bring help. Amen. So I just want us to prepare our hearts to receive the word of God, and we'll be blessed. Is that okay? Lift your hands to God and let's pray. Father, we ask you for your grace and your kindness. Everyone speak in tongues for just a few minutes. Just a few seconds. Just to see this. For just a few seconds. This is my desire to honor you. Sing, Lord, with all my heart. Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. All I have within me. Lift your hands and tell the Lord, I give you my heart and I give you my soul. Lord, I give you, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, Lord. Closer to you through your word in Jesus' name. Why don't you shout your loudest amen? Give your neighbor a hug, make sure you know your neighbor's name, and then you can sit down. Okay, make sure you know your neighbor's name. What a blessing. You may be seated. Play, okay? Play. It's nice. It's good. It's good. Yeah. It's really nice to see your face. I cannot lie to you. It's very nice to see you. And, yes. It's a very powerful church. Yes. It's powerful because you are inside it. If you were not here, it wouldn't be as powerful. Yes. But God bless. Then, for a few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I feel that, or I know that, it's a very important thing that we're doing to learn about him, because when you don't know something, you can't receive it. Yes, like right now as we're here, there are many things in the air, like from this microphone to there, there's something going on, but because you don't know it, you can't receive, you can't connect to whatever is happening. Yes, but there's something there at the back of the receiver which can understand frequencies we can't see and we can't hear. And it can receive it and translate it into something that is powerful. And it's the same way that if we don't know the Holy Spirit and we don't know what it's like or who he's like, it's very difficult to relate and to receive and to have him influence your life. True or not true? Yes, and that's why for the past 6 weeks in First Love, we've been learning about the emblems of the Holy Spirit, okay? It says it's pronounced emblem, not embrem. Tell me, it's emblem. Emblem, not embrem. Yes. And we learn of the Holy Spirit as a person. Do you remember? It's like those on the left that don't really come to church all the time. And then we learn of the Holy Spirit as the oil. Yes. Do you remember that one too? Yes, and you have to believe God that all these things will be practical in your life, that because he is there, demons will not have their way in your life. Yes, because the one thing that we know for sure is that demons really want to destroy you. Yes, the Bible says that when a demon has come out of you, he goes to find 7 stronger demons to return. They are ready to fight for a long time to reduce your life and to make you something that is not powerful. Yes, true or not true? Yes, and that's why we need a greater... You see, the world works with power for power. You don't bargain with a powerful person. It doesn't work. Like someone is coming, you also need to respond with power. You need to be a superior power. Being a superior power allows things to calm down. I understand what I'm saying to you. When I was... I'm still young, but when I was younger, I was active. Let's use the word active. It's a good word. I was active. And one of the things I used to do in my classroom is that I would use my words to cause problems. And then the people would tell me that break time, you'll see. Do you understand what break time, you'll see means? Now, in GSS, I was quite short, not so tall. But my brother was very, and he was in another building. So whenever it was, I know that if I face this guy alone, it's not going to be well with me. So even though I have caused the problem, it's me, my mouth. I sat down in the class, you were saying something, then I'll make you feel stupid, then they'll look at me and do this. I have caused it. But when break time comes, you use the 2 legs to run and to get. Because one, I remember, they can chase me, but when I enter my brother's class, they walk away. Yes. because he grew faster, so he was tall. Yeah, so even though I've caused the problem, by running to something stronger, yes, I've been saved. I understand what you're saying. So you too, the problem you cause them. Yes. The fornication you do them. The learning you didn't learn. The business you were not serious. But when the problem comes, there's a place to run to, and there's a greater help. And that's why a Christian without the Holy Spirit is a very sad story. Because Jesus left him here as our helper. I understand what I'm saying to you. You see, when Jesus was going, the disciples were very sad. They were sad because I don't think they were thinking much about the rest of the world except themselves. That this man, he healed Peter's mother. Because of Jesus, they never went to a hospital. There's no record of needing. If even Luke, he was a physician, but we don't really have any record of his skills being needed. Because they had a real physician with them whose hand, when he prays, is gone. True or not true? True. Yes. Then they also had a provider. This one is the one we needed. Yes. One day Peter had a big bill to pay, tax. Couldn't pay. Yes. Jesus said, go and fish. The first fish he caught, there was gold in that mouth. Yes. Yes. So when he said he's going to die, Peter was not really thinking about the pain. He was saying, hey, that's my tax, next year's tax. That's next year don't come again because tax, it's repeated. Accommodation, man. It was a very, very, hey, we need you. You can't go. But Jesus' words were great. He said that it's better for you that I go because the one who's coming. Can you imagine if Jesus was still alive today? It means that every problem, you and I have to go to Israel. Plane ticket from here to Israel is about $1,700, $1,800. Yes. I know they have, everybody has passports here. I refuse to believe. I refuse to believe. Yes. Yes. Then when you get there, imagine that the majority of the world is Christian. So if there are 8 billion, let's say 4 or 5 are Christian. Imagine the queue of people to meet Jesus. Even if you have protocol, maybe to move you from 4 billion to 2 billion. You have to wait. When you finally reach him, you have a few seconds. It will be difficult. By the time you start, Jesus, my problem is your time is up. Your time is up. Go and join the line again. It will not have been very easy. But he said that another of the same kind, which means that what Jesus was to the disciples is what the Holy Spirit is to us. Yes. So your healing, your financial breakthrough, your wisdom, your guidance, your understanding, it's all in the Holy... Your what? Your taxes. Your bread. Your bread is in the hands of God. Your daily bread, it's in the... I believe God affects every area of your life. And if he hasn't affected us, it's two reasons. Number one, you've not opened that area to him. Or what we're going to talk about, you've not been influenced to that extent. So today we're going to talk for a very short time about the influence of the Holy Spirit. Okay.
I love it.
She's working. Yes, yes. Wow. Yes. It's a wine bottle for those who don't know. Yes. Yes. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18 says that. And be not drunk with wine. Tell you, if you didn't know where the verse was today, you know. Be not drunk with wine. Tell the one behind you, be not drunk with wine. Wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. And I like the TLB version. Sorry, go back to that one. TLB version says, be filled instead with the Spirit. Instead with the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not alcohol, okay? Don't misunderstand, but okay. He is like alcohol in the sense that the more you have, the more influenced you are by him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Like, how many people here, you've tasted alcohol before? Can you wave at me? You've tasted. How many people here, you've never tasted alcohol before? Hey, you've never eaten Fanta cake, mascara that was slightly off. A little, there was a little smell. I'm surprised. Never eaten something that was a little bit. You thought you were buying fresh palm wine, but there was a little something. A little. You thought it was fresh. But there was a little something to it. Yeah, a little sharpness. There's a taste that. Be sad that you left too long, but I said that because your money has gone in, you will not throw it away. You have to at least fire a little. Yes. Now, that one you've tasted, but it's different from being drunk. Yes. A drunk person has that substance in him to the extent that it has changed him. You can tell from the redness of his eyes. You can tell from the way he walks. You can tell from the way he talks. You can tell that he's under a different influence. And when you come into Christ, it's very good that you've given your life to Christ. Very good that you are singing. It's very good that you are in church. But there's also a need to have the Holy Spirit to the level where he changes you. He changes the way you talk. He changes the way you walk. He's able to influence all the different areas. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? And it's not about ability. It's about how much of him you have in you. Tell me about how, asking about how much of him is in you. Yes, yes. Because you see that, like when you see someone who is just playing, he's taking a sip and passes it around, it's different. It's very different from the one who has sat at the counter. And he has already given them his bank card. Say, let it flow. Let it flow. Yes. Now you see, and that person is this. See, we have three levels. There's someone who drinks. Then there's someone who is drunk. Like that day he's drunk. But there are other people that we call them drunkards. That person, even if he's sober that day, you know it's a matter of time. He will be back in that, under that influence. He'll be back under that. Yeah. So even though today maybe he can see clearly, you know that by afternoon he's a little bit on it. Yes. And that's how we have to be with the Holy Spirit. Not with alcohol, but with the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to talk shortly. I really hope you are ready at the sound screen. Because I want to show you scientifically the different levels of alcoholism. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? Not for you to follow, but for you to do the spiritual version. Tell him, I beg you. Don't misunderstand. Don't do practical. Do only Holy Spirit, okay? So we're looking about alcohol intoxication. We have level one. Level one is a sober individual. He has 0.00% of alcohol in his system. Yes. Are you understand what I'm thinking? This guy is normal and natural. Now, this is a Christian who has 0.0% of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You are born again, that's true. You've given your life to Christ. You came here. That day you were even crying. You lifted your hands, whatever. I surrender all. You finished giving your life to Christ, but your life has no influence. You see, they says that there's no noticeable effect. The kind of church has not had an effect on your life. Scripture has not had an effect on. There's no decision in your life that has come as a result of a verse you read. Wow. This is you. You are sober. And the problem with being sober, or the problem with being natural, or the problem with being like everyone else is that good things don't come to the majority of people. Yes. Majority of the Bible says that the way that leads to hell is bigger. It's majority are heading to hell. If you even look at poverty statistics, majority of people are poor. Everything that involves the majority is usually not so good. True or not true?
True.
Yes. That's why the Bible says you are called to be a holy and righteous priest. You are called to be a little different. But many people, we don't walk in that. We just say, oh, I believe in God, but I'll continue as I am. And your decisions have not been affected by the... So anyway, that's level one. Attention, men, say, I hope you are not a level one Christian. I hope you are not a level one Christian. I hope you are not a level one Christian. Then we have level two. Can you see the... Show us level two. Oh, we beg. Oh. Should we give you offering? Level two guy is tipsy.
Okay.
Yeah, this guy is under a little bit of the influence. You can see that he make cool. He's not drunk, but he's cool. He's cool. He has a little... of the Holy Spirit. It says that you see that he has a slight relaxation. So these are people who can even relax in the house of God. They are okay. They come to church. It's an achievement to come to church. It's an achievement to be in the house of God. Genuinely. Okay. And then we have level three. Level three is euphoria. Yes. The guy is buzzed. at this point, you see that he's experiencing lower inhibitions. That means that whatever makes you behave normally, like calm, he's experiencing lower inhibitions. It's less. So he talks a lot. Have you been to a party? That person where the child, hey, Charlie, yeah. One day. I'll not tell you something. I'll tell you. One day. I went for a party I shouldn't go for.
Okay.
I was in high school, final year.
Okay.
The party started at 12 midnight. You should already know what type it is. And I decided that I wasn't going to go. But last minute, I said that, let's pass by. You bab. So my classmate picked me up. We wore, you know how you dress in those days?
Oh, yes.
The big shoe, big whatever, nice, whatever. Trousers, shirt, then you for work with a swago. Yeah, everything check. Now, the problem with that party was that it was in a classmate's father's house. They had two houses. So it was like everybody's a secret. The whole class is a secret. Just you, don't tell anybody. Come. Are you understanding the whole this thing? Yes. So that we are all not in trouble. Let's just calm down, whatever, and go. Now, I arrived late. So when I entered, I just remember not being able to recognize some of my classmates. Because they said, this guy is calm in class. But Charlie, you see the person, he's dancing, he's alive. He's so
alive.
Is it the same human being? There's an influence working on him. Influence. Are you following my message? At the back, are you with me? Yes. There's an influence at work that's making him a little bit. That's some Christians. You see, there are some Christians who are genuinely excited about ministry thing. Like when you come, if we say Bishop Saki is coming, it's of interest to you. Like you like, say, oh yeah, you'll be here. When the Holy Spirit is falling, you cry, the songs make you cry, you dance with the praise and worship. God is fighting. Some people don't dance, they're just like, cool guy.
Yeah.
That's the tipsy level. But when you cross over to another level, you are part with your emotions are involved in serving God. Yeah. Are you following what I'm saying to you? Yes. And then we have level 4 is legally impaired. This guy is at risk of poor decision making. Poor decision making. So I'll go back again to that party I was at. After noticing these people who were a little bit whatever. Now, are you following my story? Yes. About 30, 45 minutes into the time that I arrived there, we heard a woman screaming and shouting outside. Now, we couldn't hear because there was music, but when we lowered it, we realized that we were in trouble because it was somebody's mother who had arrived at the house. It was a private house. And she was shouting. So, at that time, this was probably 1 or 2 a.m. Yes. So, we were all like, how she know say we day? How does she know that we? What we didn't realize is that one of the guys had drunk too much. He was trying to call his girl, but he called his mother.
Hey!
He called his mother. Wrong decision. Hey! So everybody was in trouble. Look. Have you ever jumped a 2-meter wall before? That day we jumped. I'm telling you, because if she sees you, the next day she'll go to school knowing who came. Yes, but that person, because he was under an influence, his decisions were wrong. We're spoiling what we were trying to do. Are you feeling what I'm saying to you? And it's the same thing that the Holy Spirit can lead you to take decisions that are wrong to your flesh. Yes. That your it helps subdue your flesh. Like, are you here?
Yeah.
Yes. Like going on a mission field. It's not a logical thing. When I started saying I'm going, then people started giving me job offers.
Yeah.
A particular auntie told me that she can get me and my wife to start at Bank of Ghana. Starting salary is $1,500.
Hey.
That starting salary, so $1,500, your household income starts at $3,000. I said, hey, I was driving a car, I was blessed, I was living in a... I said, so to look at it, and then to say, I'm selling the house to go, I'm rejecting the job to go, I'm leaving everything. I'm leaving my mother, my father. I'm leaving all of you to go to a place where I've never imagined. If I even dream, it doesn't come to my mind.
Anybody?
Doesn't come to my mind. So that I'm going there. It must be another influence. It's not natural. And sometimes you need the Holy Spirit to help you walk away from what seems natural. Yes. Maybe your family, there's a history of occultism. It's passed on from father to this, and it's coming to you. It's very natural to accept. In fact, that's what everyone expects. But to be able to look at it and to walk away from this problem, it's not by your flesh. Your flesh will not take that decision. Your flesh will not. And you see, that's the problem many people have. The problem is that your mind knows what is right, but your flesh is stronger. It's like you know that this girl, it will lead to fornication. You know.
And problems.
And problems. Yeah. You know that you are even a married man. You are a married man, but as she's talking to you, you know that it will become something. But your flesh is stronger. Your flesh is leading you and is driving you. So even though you know, you are still going. Yes. Have you ever seen like those dogs that the dog is, they are pulling it this way, but the dog is going this way? Yes, that's how it is. Because whoever is pulling is not strong enough. It's not strong enough.
What a message.
It's not strong enough. Yes. Is it making sense to you?
Oh, yes.
Yes. That's level what? Level 5. Severe intoxication. Yeah, you have trouble walking. You have trouble standing. Your coordination movements. You have a loss of bladder. So many problems. A general loss of memory and self-control. Yes. People with self-control problems. I can't stop pornography and masturbation. Yeah, it's being a pastor is a good thing because you get to see genuine struggles. One day, a brother in my church had impregnated a sister in my church. Okay. In the church, all in the church. Now, I had been preaching about fornication for a long time, so, and this was like a leader also, a leader, but center leader. So, I told him, meet me by the pole, by the light pole. When the bus was, I stood by the last pole. Now, I already had in me the verses prepared to finish him and to explain to him that a shepherd is a caring, loving guide until you come for his sheep. Then he becomes a killer of lions and bears. I was prepared to let this guy know that he's in trouble. Yes, I was prepared to sort him out. Then when I started, the guy said, it's true. I said, yes, it's true. So this. Then he told me that, but pastor, since I was 12 years, I started fornicating. I've heard you preach. I've heard this, but I can't stop. When he said, I can't stop, all the verses, I said, that's not for this person. It's not for this person. I recognized someone who knows about God, but you can't get yourself to do what it is you actually need to do. Like a Christian who needs to pray. I need to pray, but when the clock rings at 5 o'clock, you look at it and you use your own hand to turn it. Yes, to turn it. Yes, you know that you need to pray, but it is you preventing you from prayer. There's no demon involved. It's you preventing you from prayer. Yes. Yes. Come to church, then you look at it. It's time to go to church. Then you know, go to church, but you come out and you look at the clouds. Say, it's raining 5 minutes. Hey, you go. Level 6. Level 6 is coma. At this point, the flesh has been subdued. Yes, this is the point in which you realize that the spirit is leading because the flesh is in coma mode. It's called alcoholic poison. At this point, your life is even in danger. Then we have the final stage, which is death. Read level 7. Death. Yes. Then, but if you don't know, alcoholism can kill you. It can actually kill you. Yes, it's not something to play with. It can actually kill you. And this is what the Bible says that in Romans 8:13. Yes, but if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you will live. Yes, you will live. Are you following me? When I was young, there was a series called Hannah Montana. How many of you have heard of Hannah Montana before? Yes. There was a phrase in that thing that used to guide me. Hannah Montana, she said that she had the best of both worlds. What it was that she was a normal girl with a rich father. And then she when she wears the blonde wig, she's transformed into a superstar who also has the best of the superstar world. It was like someone who had the best of popularity and also the best of a normal childhood. Are you following what I'm saying to you? So when I was growing up, I felt that it's possible to have the best of both worlds, meaning that I can be in church, have a fantastic time in the Holy Spirit, and also have a very nice time in the world. Yes. Don't judge me. Why? Don't judge me. Some of you are like that too. But I was like that. I don't want to lie to only the speaker works. Yes. I know how to be in church and be at the club at the same time. Okay. Club Friday night, church Sunday. Okay. Yes. Wow. It was a period of my life that you know how to attend a party. And then Saturday, you don't come around because you need to recover. Because Sunday, because your parents are a pastor, the pastor is always looking at you. Okay. So you have to be able to pay attention and not whatever. I even developed how to listen to worldly music in the service. Like, where's my earphones? Like, don't follow this example. I don't think I should teach you. Maybe I shouldn't teach you. Okay. Like, when I come to the church, if I'll sit on the side, if whichever side I sit on, that's where I'll put the earphones. So if the earphone is here, I'll sit this way so that the pastor cannot see what is in my ear. Then I'll be like this. As he's preaching, he thinks that he's firing a good word and I'm listening, but what is in my ear? What is in my ear is not good for me to tell you what is in my ear. And I'll be there, not as a... That's the point, you have to be cool. But I'm not responding to him. I'm responding to something else in my ear. Yes. So that I want to have the best of both worlds. Yeah. But it's a fallacy. Do you know why it's a fallacy? Because the Bible says that worldliness is enmity to God. You can't have both. It's like trying to combine fire and ice are the same thing. They are enemies. So the more worldly you are, the less godly you are, and the less of God you have. I remember when I was in that time, I was obsessed with looking right. You know what I'm saying to you? Like, when I was coming to KNUSD, I remember this story very much because it surprised my father that I think it was my final year, a few months before I came. So he had come to Accra and he was driving to Kumasi. So I said, I'm bringing some of my clothes for him to take back. I feel what I'm saying to you. So he had packed his things in the car, and then I brought a Ghana Must Go bag, the big one. Then I came, then I lifted, I said, help me. I helped, and I put it in the car. Then he said, okay, are these all your clothes? I said, no, these my clothes, no. These are the shoes I don't need for the next 4 weeks. My father said, what? He opened, had a whole Ghana Must Go full of different shoes that I will not even wear this one. Like, I have another set that I'll wear because you have to have the right color, the right I was obsessed with it. Yes, so that I can look great in the night and also to like balance Christianity. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes. To have a balance of Christianity. But it doesn't work that way. And you actually get the worst of both because you live a Christian life without the power. And that's why the Bible says in Revelation 3:16, I wish that you were hot or you were cold, but because you are lukewarm, you are rejected by God for choosing to mix the two. I'll spew you out. I understand what I'm saying to you. And so there's a need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because He is the one who leads you. I was explaining to this first service, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I believe. Do you know? I'm sure you know this verse. If you don't know this verse, you've not been in church for a long while. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Can you help me or I should help myself? Yes. Can we read it together, everyone? Ready, go. Yes. God loves you. He loves the whole world and he loves you specifically. And he has a plan which is greater than your plan. You see, every father wants you want your child to do better than you. True or not true? A good father is like, if I have a house, have two. If I have this, have more. If I was a carpenter, you be a doctor. If I was a doctor, you own a hospital. If I own a hospital, you own three or more hospitals. Every father has a desire for your child to do better than you. And that's, God also has that. That's a father's love. God also has that feeling towards you. When he sees you, he wants you to have the best of everything. The best job, the best house, the best wife. Yes. And his plan is great for you. But see, the problem is with verse 10. Or the problem or the solution based on how you see it. Because verse 10 tells us that that plan is only revealed by the Spirit. It's only but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So when you don't have the Spirit, even if God has a plan to make you one of the greatest in your fields, you can't be led to it. And that's when you see Christians whose lives, you've been in church for so long, but your life hasn't changed. I told my father, I asked him once, because you know church aunties, the ones who respond quickly to the presence of God, they fall down the road, the wig removes, you understand what I'm saying? The kind of every convention, they receive something. Yeah, one day I asked my father, this particular auntie, it's been many years, 10 years. She has received. There's no change in her life. Why? Is it the Holy Spirit doesn't work? Why? And it's not about his inability to work. It's about the measure at work inside of you. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? So there's a need for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Tap your neighbor and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Tap the one behind you and say, don't be full of Coca-Cola, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Tell the one to your left, don't be filled with football statistics, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Football statistics doesn't change life. I'm telling you, no. Yes. Tell the one in front of you, don't be full of Drake's music, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Oh, it's not Drake you listen to, it's who? Shatawale. And Stone Boy. And who else? Black Sheriff. Eh? Iron Boy. There's another, that's the title of the album. Iron Boy, yes. You're soaking in Iron Boy. Your life will be hard like iron also. That's what it is. Iron for iron, that's what it is. Yes. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? There are four ways, but I don't know if we have time for all four. Number one, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, to stir up an interest and a desire. See, stir up an interest and a desire. Number two, to pray specifically for the Holy Spirit. Number three, to associate with anointed men of God. And number four, which is my favorite, to sing and to make melody in your heart to God. Yes. I think we can go home. I finished praying. Okay, let me try and explain a few of them to you. Is that okay? Or should we close now?
Two more years.
Okay. Stir up interest. You see, you can't drink what you're not interested in. Yes, you can't drink what you're not interested in. I'll tell you something. When I went to Madagascar for the first time, I've gone there, like I lived there, but the first time I went, and you get people to come to church, one of the nice things to do is what we call the idea of visitation, which is to go and visit them. Are you following my story? Now, I went to visit an accountant, a lady accountant who had come to church, and I went with some of the leaders in the church. So we were three, and then plus her and her child. And when we arrived in the house, I wasn't expecting it, but she had laid a table. Wow. Now, I didn't really want to eat, but they told me that it's offensive to not eat. So I said, no problem. Let's sit down. I sat down. They brought the rice. They don't add salt to rice. It's very healthy, but very difficult. But very healthy, but very difficult. But very healthy. Yes, salt without rice. Then, do you see the tongue of a cow? Yes, it's used. That's the meat in the stew. Yes, the tongue. They cut it. So I would advise you that, you see, when you go to a place that you don't know, sometimes don't ask. Just eat and close your eyes and believe God in them. Don't ask. When they said the tongue, I said, my God, how may have been alive for how many years? I don't think they've ever brushed their teeth before. And this is the part that you have cooked to put it. I said, mercy. But I tried, ate it coolly, no problem. A little few bites. Then he said, oh, we are bringing you some juice. So that one day, I know juice. Then when they brought the juice, and I held the cup and I looked inside, I made the mistake and I asked again, what is this? Then they explained, said, this is ranapangu. I said, this is what? This is ranapangu. I said, what is it? Then they explained. You see, when you have a big pot, you see a big pot? Yes, when you have a big pot and you cook rice inside it, the bottom part bends, you see. Now, bear in mind that they cook rice without salt. So it's saltless burnt rice. So they remove the top, then that burnt part, they don't remove it. In the bowl, they add hot water, then they stir and they mix. So there's black floating things all around it. And then they lift the bowl and they pour it into a jug and they bring it, ranapango. Tell them about, when you go, don't ask, oh, just drink it quickly and pray for God to heal you. And then, because I didn't want to offend her. I didn't want to offend her. So when they said it, I almost laughed, but I realized that no, it's a serious thing here. So they gave me the cup and they poured. Now, when you look, you see the black rice and the particles is dancing in the water like this. It's dancing. So I held it. And then I took a sip. When I brought the cup, then I noticed that all their eyes were looking at me too. Like, how is it? Now, for politeness sake, and because you want, I said, oh, it's okay, it's great, so I put it down. They said, oh, should we bring you more? I said, I beg you. I think I'm on a one sip for 10 years policy. As I've taken this sip for 10 years, allow me. Yes, because I was not interested. So I couldn't drink of ranapangu. I couldn't. Even to date, I eat many of their food, but that one is, I have to be honest, it's difficult to accept it. But it's a delicacy. Like when you go to a restaurant, 4-star restaurant, with whatever fantastic steak, at the door, you see the big jar. It's free. Take it and pour yourself in. It has to be free. How can you charge for it? But when you don't have a desire, you can't drink. And so, please sit down. You need to have a desire for the Holy Spirit. Yes. Not for the things of the Holy Spirit, but for the Holy Spirit. I'll show you a verse. Go with me to John 6. John 6 verse 9. Do you know this miracle? Do you know it? When Jesus multiplied bread. Yes. If it was today, I don't think it would have been bread. It would have been kebab. Everyone, we are sharing one big, the long kebab. Yes. Jesus did it for 5,000 men. As for women and children, we don't know how many it was. Fantastic miracle. Now, go with me to verse 22, if you can skip. 22 says, and the day following, last, the next day, when the people stood on the other side of the sea, they saw that there was none other boat there save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples nor into the boat, and that his disciples were gone away alone. Verse 24, quickly, we want to go early. Now, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Tap three people and say, seeking for Jesus. Look, this is a special type of church member who pays his own transport. And see, in this day and age, we travel to countries by plane. In those days, it was by ship. So this is a member who has used his salary to buy a plane ticket. I'm going to look for Jesus. What a person. Now, verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the ship, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered, said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me. You are looking for me. Jesus recognizes that. Look, it's a good thing that you pray to Jesus. You don't bow down to snakes. I went to a town in Laura where they had a python in the middle of the town. The python was their god. And they say that at night, when your baby is crying, the python can come and soothe your baby to enter your house. I said that I'll never live there, that I'll be in my room sleeping, my baby is crying, and the python will come through the window and wrap itself around my baby. How true it is, I don't know, but that's what we were told, that they have a house in the middle. It's called Laura. You can go there. It's very fantastic. People worship so many different kinds of things. And God is happy that you worship Jesus Christ, that when you are praying, it's not to the sun, to the moon, it's not to Buddha, or all the other things, but it's to Jesus Christ. Look, turn to your neighbor and congratulate your neighbor. Well done. You seek Jesus. But he says that you are seeking me, be not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So these are disciples who seek Jesus, but not for Jesus, but for what he can give. So these are the Christians who come to church to pray for things. They are fixed on, like, if you want people to come to church, you have to have a theme and a title that relates to their problem. Yes. Keys to abundance service, so that the hall will be full. Keys to overcoming your breakthrough season. That's what makes people, we are excited to come for such things. True or not true? Even in church, the prayer for communion is coming, you'll see that we become alive. Even those sleeping at the back, they say, suddenly, Amen! Amen! Because we like to receive. But when you like what the person gives more than the giver, it changes. It's happened to me before. I'll never forget that lesson. Yes. When we were in Tamale, my father used to travel often. And I remember that one particular trip to South Africa, I'll never forget, because we had a PlayStation 2 and we had given him a list of games to buy. Yes. Why not? Yes. My daddy is traveling, he should bring the games. And when he went, we're texting, when we spoke to him, he said, he's bought all the games. He's bought, there was FIFA 2007, Tomb Raider, Grand Theft, oh, there was a racing one. Gran Turismo, he has bought, yes. A series of them. So that day when he came, I listen to my story. Yes, we were more interested in the suitcase than in him. I tell you, yes, we went for welcome. Where's the welcome? Yeah, welcome. But we are dragging the suitcase. Yes, I remember, because that was the last time. That was the last time he came with gifts. It ended that day. He's the gift. Ended that gift. He's the gift. Yes. Because when you like someone for what he gives to you, not the person, it changes the relationship. Just like how you are feeling, that boy who liked you because of another, you said that after a while, because of what you could give, yes, not because of you, yes. See that it didn't work out for you, yes. So tell your neighbor, let's love God. Yes. Let's long to be filled with his spirit. Yes, more than anything else. Because these disciples, go to verse 66, I think. Verse 66, that from that time, many of the disciples, they went back. They went back. Yes, if all you look for in church is something to receive, you will not be there for long. You must have times where you are just praying to God. There's no topic. It's not about your wife. It's not about school fees. It's not about exam. It's not about a job. Is not even about your future. You are just spending time with him. You are in your room, there's music playing, there's preaching playing, and you are praying in tongues to God with no topic in particular. You are looking for God. That person who has that kind of hunger, Bible says that blessed are they which hunger and thirst for God. You will be filled. God longs to fill you, but you just need to have that desire. That's why the Bible says also in Luke 11:13. If you can help me quickly. which is also another verse we all know. Yes, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that will ask? Has your father ever given you a scorpion before? Has your father ever given you a cobra? Yes, like you wake up Christmas Day, when you go and you look, there's a snake, there's a lion. Even human beings in the West, from the Bible says in Psalm 39 verse 5, I think, the very best of man is vanity. Even in our greatest state, we are nothing compared to God. But even we, you will see the sacrificial elements of fathers to forgo what it is they like to provide for their child. One day I saw my school fees in final year. I'll not tell you that, but it shocked me in thousands of dollars. And I went to my father and asked him, how? Because one of the good things about my father, he talks to us like friends. So I know what he earns. I said, how do you afford this bill for me? Yes. My father looked at me and told me, said that the secret is that for the past 4 years, he's done nothing for himself. He said, what do you mean? He said, he's never bought a shoe for himself, never bought a TV for himself, never bought anything. Everything that he has, every gift, whatever, he's put it together to send us to school. It's something serious. It's something serious. And that's a father's love. So how much more do you think God is happy watching us struggle on earth? When he's there, you see that you can't pay school fees, then he's clapping. Hey, it's good for my... It's not so. His desire for you, if you allow him, it will elevate you to a very exceedingly high level. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans 8, I think verse 19, that the creature is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Sometimes God is just waiting for you to be led more by the Holy Spirit so that he can give to you what it is you actually want. I don't believe a Christian should be poor. I don't believe a Christian should. I believe that even if their suffering is for a short time, the Bible says that you are weeping for a night, joy will come in the morning. Suffering exists, but it's for a short time. You're not meant to live a life of suffering. But the problem is, like I showed you in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it comes by the Spirit. It's not by intense force. It's not by by effort. Yes. Tell anybody, it's not by effort. Yes. When I finished school, I tried to find a job. I applied to a lot of places. I don't want to give you the full experience, but it was not powerful. It didn't work. It wasn't good. And then I got one or two places, but I wasn't happy. There was a particular job when I got there, and I looked at the salary offer. I will use all on transport. Like the salary offer and the transportation from my house in Accra to the shop times 21 working days is the same.
It's a fast,
yes. I couldn't. But as the Holy Spirit has entered my life, and the more of him I've drunk, and my ability to allow him to lead me, yes, to allow him to decide where I should go, who I should marry, what I should do with my life. Last night I was talking with some people, they asked me, did you desire to be a missionary? I said, no. So it's never been a desire to be a pastor or to be a missionary. Just been a desire to love God and to have the Spirit. And at each step, he's taking me here. Okay, do this. Okay, lead it, sing praise and worship. Okay, do. He's led me on a journey that has eventually brought me where I am. And I don't want to lie to you. And I'm trying to be, I have to try to be humble also. But it's a significantly higher level than whatever I was. Significantly. In all areas of my life, the wife is giving me is better than anyone I would have chosen for myself. Yeah, but some of us, we trust our eyes more. We trust that you'll be satisfied with a big breast more than something. Big breast. Big breast. No peace. I had a friend. See, my friend who, he liked a particular girl, but there were too many problems. Too many. So we advised her that if there's a quote we have, which is called a seesaw, which means that what you see in the relationship is what it is in the marriage. So if in this relationship there's so much quarreling, let's be wise and let's spare yourselves. Okay, are you understanding the advice? Very good advice. So he'll break up. But I will not lie to you, the girl was beautiful. So when he breaks up, then after 2 months, he's back again. Then he'll break up. So then he'll come back again. He did it about 4 times. So after a while, the pastor said, okay, marry. I went for the wedding. My God. Have you seen the type of wedding that makes you know that you are poor? That's the type. And I'm not poor, but you see the lights. I said, wow, so beautiful wedding, pictures, everything. They went on honeymoon. He came back divorced. At the honeymoon, he came back divorced. This is not, I can give you his name and his phone number. He's in Accra. I'm going to meet him. He's my friend. He came back divorced. Yes, yes. And after the divorce affected him, it took him many, many years to marry, to find again. So somebody said, I want this. I'm going for what I want. Women empowerment. Power to the people. Be strong. Self-empowerment. Drive yourself. Do it. Hey. Follow it. You see. I've found that the greatest thing is to have enough humility to be led by the Spirit. To be led. Because the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 10:23 that the way of a man is not in himself. There's a way that God has for your life to make you great, the wife you should marry, the business you should do, everything. But that way, it doesn't exist. That's why a pastor has a pastor. That's why God gives us the word of God, the Holy Spirit, to lead us. Because it's not in you. If you follow this flesh, it will reduce you to a piece of bread. But the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it elevates your life. Yes, it elevates your life. Galatians 2, Paul said, I went up by revelation. The more revelation from the Holy Spirit he had, the higher his life went up. Yes, and I'm telling you that you too, let's desire to be filled by the Holy Spirit. He can affect everything you are doing, your job, your family, your marriage, your business, your what else? Your education, yes, your happiness, your joy. He's able to affect it if you allow him to fill you. Tell him, say, if you allow him to fill you. Yes. If you desire him more. You're right. Yes. Then let's do point number 4. Then we close. How to be filled. Yes. To sing and to make melody in your heart. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, 18 and 19. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you have a good Bible, you can see that after verse 18, there's a semicolon because it's explaining, verse 19 is explaining how you can be filled. So there's a semicolon there. Be filled by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. Yes. Singing and making melody in your heart to God. We are closing, but I want to close with this tip. Are you paying attention to me? This verse. I want to close on this verse to explain to you that, you know, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his children, of his people. And worship is a powerful tool. It's a very powerful tool. I'll tell you, one day, I had come home and I have 2 daughters by the grace of God. And no more. We end at 2 by the grace of God. Yes. And so help me God, by the grace of God. Yes. And when I came into my bedroom, my daughter has used a green permanent marker to have her way on the wall. Yes, she had her way. My God. Exploring her artistic. So when I came into the house and I saw it, I was very upset. I said, come down, said this, spank it, 1, 2 dollars. Because paint is expensive. It's expensive. Like 1, 2 dollars. Go to the hall. Then I closed my door and I sat down to work. As I was working, in the middle of the work, I know my daughter's cry. I heard her scream. Now, I was talking to, that I think I don't remember, but whoever it was, somebody very important on the computer. I closed it. This child that I'm not happy with, I'm already angry at her, not really feel like talking to her because of what she has done. When I heard her cry, it takes away, I close everything, leave it, step aside. Hey, what's happening? Because when you are a real father, the cry of your child, it makes you, you respond to it. And that's how God is. Sometimes you can fall in sin, you can backslide, you can fornicate. I'm not saying do it. You can fornicate, you can have problem, everything can exist. And you can be in a very bad state, but wherever you are, if you stand in that place and you lift your hands to God and you sing to Him, He will come there. He will come there. He will come there. He inhabits the praises. The Bible tells us in Psalms that we enter into His gates with thanks and into His courts with praise. Wherever you can even be on the toilet, a dirty, stinking toilet. He is not a respecter of those things. But when you leave, say, you just start, you see that the room starts to change. So I want to encourage you that sing more. Tell your neighbor, sing more. Yes. It's not about the quality of voice. Oh, it's not about the quality of voice. Some singers, when they start singing, you can't even understand where they are. But God responds. Benin was in Accra, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now, I have some church members from Madagascar who are in Bible school. So they were in the service. So when they finished, I asked them that, how was the service? They told me that they didn't understand one word of the preaching. They didn't understand anything. And one said that she was actually even sleeping. But when the man started to sing, he stood on the bridge with his keyboard, he started to sing that, the room changes. It changes. And one of the reasons why we don't experience this thing is because usually when we start singing, some are singing, some are sleeping, some are laughing, some are on their phone, and that lack of unity doesn't really look at. We are closing. 2 Chronicles 5, I believe. Help me, Holy Spirit. 2 Chronicles 5:13. 5:13. 13, not 3. 1:3. Please help me. Look at it, says, and it came to pass, as the trumpeters, which is the instrumentalists, and the singers were as one, to make one sound and to be heard in praising and thanking God. And when they lifted up their voice, tell me about your voice must be lifted up. Lift up the voice. Lifted up their voice, and with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise God, saying, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud. The presence of God came down like a cloud. It's not only the church. You can have it in your house also. And you see, in your house, it's easier because you are the only one. So you are the trumpet, the everything. You just sit down there and open your mouth and sing to God. You experience His tangible presence. You experience the help of God in your problems. God is there to help you. He's not your enemy. He's not someone who is like some strict headmaster that you have to achieve something to please Him. No, He rather wants to help you be more like Him. But you need to be interested. Tap in and say, be interested. Yes. And you need to sing. Singing. It makes His presence come down. Yeah. Everywhere. On the trotro to work. On the toilet to work. Yes. In every situation to work. If you try it. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, everyone. Lift your hands to God for a few seconds. And let's pray for a few seconds. Lift your hands to God and let's pray. Are you praying? Lift your hands and let's just pray. Jesus, we thank You for Your grace. Jesus, we thank You for Your power. Jesus, we thank You for Your help. We ask You to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with Your presence. Fill us with Your goodness. Fill us with the help of God. Oh, lift your hands and pray, everyone, for just a few seconds. Be interested. Don't zone out. Be interested. For a few seconds, lift your hands and pray. For a few seconds, lift your hands and pray. Lift your hands and pray. Lift your hands and pray to Him. And may the Holy Spirit influence you. May you have more of Him in your life. His power in your life. His power. your business. His power in your education. His help in your marriage. His help in your finances. Lift your voice and just pray for a few seconds. Jesus, Roma Kotolo Moya. Jesus, we thank you for the abundance. Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands, church, and close your eyes, everyone. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me, and I will. Come live in me, come live in me, all my life, please take over. Close your eyes and for a few seconds and just sing to the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, and I pray that as He fills us, may we experience an elevation, may we rise like we're on eagle's wings. Lift us up in our careers, lift us up in our families, lift us up in our areas. Lift us up in every aspect of this life. And by the power of the Spirit, may your plans for our lives be fulfilled. We know the plans that you have for us are good and greater than what we can imagine. And I thank you, Lord, that we will not be examples of what a Christian should not be, but we will be examples of what a life is when Christ is working in that life. I thank you for power to overcome sin. I thank you that we will have the victory. I thank you that you will give us wisdom to guide our lives, to guide our families, and to have an impact on the people around us. I thank you for knowledge and the spirit of might, an ability and a skill that comes from God. And I pray, oh Lord, that we will be transformed by the Spirit. May we never regret following you, and may we never turn away, but may we be changed Christians by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that each year will be better, each month will be better, each week will be better. Thank you that we will move up and not down. Thank you that we will rise and we will soar. I thank you for your grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, shout aloud, amen. We're closing, but before we close, every eye closed, every head bowed. It starts by giving your life to Christ. It starts by being close to Jesus. You can't drink if you're not in the bar. You need to be in it. You need to be in the kingdom. And before we leave here, I just want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're here, someone invited you. It's been a while, you've been in church. Or for whatever reason, you find yourself here, but you know that you are far away from God. And you are not sure that if you die tonight, you'll make it to heaven. Bible says that the grace that brings salvation has appeared, and today that grace is here in this room to save you and to transform you from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. If you are here and you want to receive of this grace, I want to pray with you, and I just need you to lift your hands and say this prayer with me. If you are here, just lift your hands high above your head. Lift your hands high above your head. Yes, I see a few hands on the sides. Wonderful. Now, I want the whole church to just join us as we pray. Everyone close your eyes and bow your head and let's pray. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for my life and I thank you for salvation. Say, Jesus, forgive me for all my wrong sins. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus and make me clean. I want to live for you. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to love you more. Please send your Holy Spirit. Everyone lift your hands and say, send your Holy Spirit. You said if we ask, we will give. So we're asking, please send your Holy Spirit. And let him help me. Let him comfort me. Let him teach me. And let him guide me into the life you've planned for me. In Jesus' name. And everyone shout aloud, amen. Put your hands together and let's welcome. Oh, keep clapping. Clap a little louder as we welcome our mother.
Come on, put your hands together, put your hands together. Hallelujah.
With all of me,
we believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.